This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, your community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
You're listening to Radio Hawke's Bay, your community access radio station. And I'm Lynn Trafford presenting a special celebratory episode of Rotary Wheels. Knowing that this episode is to be played on Christmas Day 2023 and New Year's Day 2024, I wanted to present a Rotary Wheels story with a goodwill message. In the 1970s, Rotary International was challenged by Dr. Albert Sabin, an immunologist who famously developed a safe and effective polio oral vaccine, challenged to rid the world of polio. In 1979, Rotary International began its fight against polio with a multi-year project to immunize 6 million children in the Philippines. As at 25 October 2023, there were 11 cases of wild poliovirus in the world for the 10 months of 2023. This small number of cases is of particular interest to my guest this morning, as Mary Ellen Warren was diagnosed with polio at age 7. She is a strong advocate for post-polio people living in the Bay, a supporter of Rotary International's fight against polio, and my guest on Rotary Wheels. Good morning, Mary Ellen.
Good morning, Lynn. Thank you for this opportunity to talk about a thing that's past, present, and how we can romp it out in the future.
Absolutely. I'm going to start by asking you, Mary Ellen, what is polio? What is it?
Okay, it's a virus, and it actually has three different strains that have developed over time. The theory is that it goes all the way back to pre-BC days. The reason that that theory bears some fruit is the actual engravings by the Egyptians on their sacred sites, and one of their leaders was shown with a wizened leg and a stick to hold him up.
Yeah, yeah.
So it appears the virus has been with us a very long time, but came in public scrutiny only in the late 1800s. And it was in the United States where they picked up on it first. A physician in the state of Vermont, I believe it was, who added up his patients and found they had a similar paralytic outcome and identified it as polio.
Yeah.
So a long history.
Yes, it has got a long history and a very complex one as
yes.
Well, how do we get polio, Mary Ellen? How do we catch it?
Yes, well, I'll start with the personal. I was probably infected by swimming in Lake Ontario. It was a summer day in August of 1952, and the rivers flowing into the Lake Ontario often contained sewage from the towns adjacent. There was no sewage treatment in those days for lakes in Ontario. And so if there had been a case in town, it could have generated the virus into the sewage and then into the lake. So that's my guess. My guess is waterborne, but some will say that it's perhaps person to person, usually though through food or mouth contact as opposed to a vapor.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we should really just make it very obvious to people. Anyone listening to you today knows you're not a Hawke's Bay girl. You can pick up that accent. So from Ontario,
yes,
Canada, that is home. And you've just mentioned the big lake,
yes,
of course, and swimming there. So that's how you got it. Have you any siblings, and did your siblings get it?
I do have a sister, and Elizabeth was polio-free, but my mom developed a form of what we call bulbar polio. She had difficulty swallowing and breathing at the time. She wasn't hospitalized. I was. I have since participated in a study at McMaster University where your very question is the basis of ongoing research. Is it polio more prone in families? And that the key there, the hypothesis is there a genetic link? And by that, they mean, is there something in you that predisposes you to be weakened receptive to the polio virus? I haven't seen the end of that study, but I'm pleased to say that I've actually submitted my DNA. A little parcel went out from the Terradale post office with my DNA in it. Can you imagine?
All the way to Canada.
All the way to Canada.
But it's great that they're doing that kind of research, because we often say things like that, don't we?
Yes.
Oh, no, it's not hereditary, but it does tend to run in families. And we don't only say that about polio. So good that they were doing that kind of study and that it is ongoing.
And I just mentioned how that study started. It was precipitated by dengue fever.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, a lot of us who go to tropical areas are warned the mosquitoes carry a virus and you're in trouble if you get it. But they studied the people who were the native people in those lands, and it tended to be more in families.
Yes.
So it was the dengue fever that then said, maybe we should check some other of these things as well.
Yeah, that's good, isn't it? Mm. It's really good that these kinds of studies are ongoing. You told me off air that you didn't understand what polio was, but your mum did.
Yes.
Do you remember being ill, waking up and knowing something was wrong? You were only 7. Do you remember it, Mary Ellen?
Oh, yes, vividly. I remember the onset, the headache, and feeling just rotten, going to bed, and then it gets a bit sketchy lying there with a fever, presumably, then taken out to the couch. I think my mom wanted to separate me from my sister. We shared a bed and a bedroom. The couch was new to me, and I guess I wiggled around a bit, but found I had wiggled so much that a leg had dropped off the edge, and I couldn't get it up.
No.
It was just going to lie there, dead weight.
Okay. You also told me that you felt very strongly that this was just an illness and that it would pass. Now, that's a 7-year-old thinking, isn't it?
Yes, yes. I think the unknown as a 7-year-old is great. I thought that it was just a bad dream.
Yes.
I thought, I'm out of here. I'll wake up. This will be all over.
Yes. Yeah. And you would have been just one of lots of people thinking like that. But that didn't happen. They took you to hospital.
They did.
Mum would have realized quite soon, I think, wouldn't she?
Yes.
So took you to hospital, to a special children's hospital?
Yeah, in a hearse, by the way.
Oh, no.
Yes, in Canada, ambulances were saved for people who were non-infectious, we'll say.
Ah, okay, yes. Fair enough.
So, yes, but that also precipitated the idea that this was just a bad dream. I was off.
Well, yes, I didn't really.
Now, I missed the second part.
Children's hospital.
Yes,
was
a children's
specifically?
Hospital.
And did they have some special wards just for polio patients?
Yes.
How did it work?
Yes, definitely. They wanted to keep you separate from the world.
Mm.
So, yes, there was a floor of those of us who were in the delirious high care area. And that passes after about 3 weeks. So, yes, in the hospital per se, and then they shipped you out to a subsidiary hospital, which was more relaxed. It was in a rural setting, and the thought was that you'd recover better where there was fresh air. And I have to agree with that, because the hospital setting in the city was next to a brewery. And so I well remember the aroma smell. Of the hops. Yes. Took me years to have my first sip of beer because I had that bad memory associated with it.
I would think so. So going out into the country is a good idea.
It is a good idea. Were you allowed to that was very much the Kiwi way as well. I think that came out of Australia.
They did that here as well. Were your parents allowed to visit you, or were you still in total isolation in the country?
No, bit by bit. My parents were allowed to see me on a Sunday for 2 hours, which was not easy for them because they lived maybe 150K away, had no car. Mm. And this is the joy of community, that their friends and friends of friends took it in turn to drive them.
Oh, gosh, that's so nice, isn't it?
Isn't that?
And it would have been dreadful for you if they'd never come.
Oh, yes.
You would just be waiting for them to come on Sunday afternoons. Tell me about the therapy.
Yes.
Was the therapy, because mm-hmm. we're still talking here about the middle of the 1950s.
Yes, let's get into the therapy. The therapy is everything. That's the thing that gets you back together again.
Yeah. What did they do to you?
Okay, so at first you're just in a little knot, so they try and stretch you out. The nerves have died, therefore the muscles have contracted. They have nobody to wake them up or move them around, so they just contract. So the first thing is usually a nice warm bath, and that sort of relaxes your body a little bit. And then bit by bit, the stretching starts. Not easy, because the
Does
muscles...
it hurt?
Oh, yes. The muscles say no thank you. But the physios were wonderful. I am a great fan of the patience and the positivity that they have. They really get you going. When you think you can't do it, they find a way to encourage
to make you. You do that. After your stay in hospital, which was, what, about 3-4 months?
Three full months, yes.
Okay, so you go home.
Mm-hmm.
You're a bit stronger.
Yes, the main thing was to get up the front steps.
Oh.
So I was on 2 sticks, as we call them, crutches. My little feet were just wonky as, but I managed to get up into the house, so whew, home at last.
Did you have, like, step therapy? My word.
Yes.
Not a terribly medical term, but steps are a challenge always, aren't they?
And you'll find that you can adapt with your sticks more easily to going up, but the going down is tricky, so placing your sticks
different
and
kind
then
of balance.
Taking that next step, which seems to be into the abyss.
Uh-huh. You had 4 years, as it turns out, of homeschooling.
Mm-hmm.
So you're at quite a delicate age
that
stage, aren't you, to have to go through homeschooling. And then you go back to school at age 15.
Mm-hmm.
Around about this age,
mm-hmm.
you're very aware of yourself, aren't you,
mm-hmm.
and of your body mm-hmm. and of your limitations. A girl mm-hmm. age 15, we have a certain degree of pride in there somewhere. Was your body okay?
I think I tended to ignore it.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Oh.
So my route at high school was straight to the library. You could sit in a library, it was nice and quiet in a library, and the world was at your fingertips.
And it didn't have to be physical?
It didn't have to be physical at all. It might get a help for somebody for a book up high, but
I didn't fit
the mold at all, but I found my own mold, which was in the library, and I was quite amused when early on the head librarian had broken her leg skiing. And the principal came to me and said, well, our librarian won't be back for another 2 weeks. I'd like you to take over the library.
Yep, you're the next in line, Mary Ellen, at age 15. You can do this. At age 16, your mother encouraged you to get your driving license.
Mm.
That must have been a wonderful liberty.
Yes.
Wasn't she good?
She was. She had recognized that not everyone who had polio took off and better forever.
No.
Somehow she had the inkling my dad used to say arthritis. He said sometimes there's an onset of arthritis.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So you get to get your driving license and you go on to university. You study geography.
That's right.
Where did you go to university?
It was in Hamilton, Ontario.
Hamilton. Okay. Yep. Not that far away from where you were brought up or from where we are sitting today. That's for our Hamilton here.
Good
friends. Extension of the mind. Great for you, really.
Yes.
MSc?
Yes. Yep. Master in town planning.
Yeah.
Yeah. The fascination with planning, I think, is a little bit of the environmental bridge, the bridge to the environment.
Mm.
I recognized that my love wasn't a city of total concrete. It was a city that also had green, a playground.
Very important for you.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
important. Did polio in any way affect your studies at university or what you could and could not do?
Definitely. I cottoned on to geology. It became my favorite subject, and I think I actually achieved my best mark. But I knew that I wasn't cut out for the field work that was a part of geology. So, it was limiting, but no big deal.
No big deal. After university, you meet your husband. Mm-hmm. I'm zapping through this at 10 times the speed of sound. You married John. You had a couple of children.
Yep.
You lived and worked in Ontario. Then you came to New Zealand. Why did you come to New Zealand, Mary Ellen? How did we get you?
It was purely an accident. There was Canadian Airlines started up. And they reduced the airfares tremendously for their first 5 flights. And we happened to see the ad in the paper. Great, we're on to it. And so it was a bargain. It was CP Air, no longer in existence, sorry, and landed in Auckland. And I knew I was at home. It was wonderful. I think it was being in touch with the Pacific community. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? The hugs, they were so glad to see their people either coming or going. It was a community that inspired me about New Zealand.
Good. Mm. We're going to do a big leap forward.
Okay, big.
Now.
From the airport.
Yeah, we're going to do a big leap forward. Here we are together, you and I, sitting in Hastings talking about polio.
Yes.
But I know that post-polio is an important aspect, isn't it? And it's still an ongoing healing today.
That's right.
Isn't it? What am I talking about, Mary
Ellen? Good question. And you aren't alone. The whole medical community was oblivious to what post-polio was. And what it was is a premature aging of the muscles. So you were standing there as a 45-year-old, but the muscle felt it was an 80-year-old. And with the weakness was for many pain or even immobility. So it was only about 1988 in New Zealand that a group formed to focus on the after effects of polio, which we called post-polio.
So is this a getting together to help each other along, or is there an underlining medical?
Two parts to it. One was to help each other.
Yes, important.
And so that's a logic tip as to where you get a mobility scooter, or tip as to how you retrofit your car so that you have hand controls. Wonderful advice where you go to get a totally hand-controlled car. So, yes, there's that kind of sharing of information. But the other part was to educate our medical system. Our doctors hadn't read about post-polio. They hadn't encountered it. Mm-hmm. So there were a fair number of people who were going to doctors with the manifestations of post-polio, but not being diagnosed.
And because polio was big in New Zealand as well. Mm-hmm. We did not have the numbers, of course, that you had in Canada, because we did not have the population. Mm-hmm. But all of us have an awareness. I grew up with other children that had polio, and as we discussed the other day, with tetanus as well.
Yeah.
So there is an awareness here, but I think you just kind of think in your mind, oh, they've had polio, they've gotten better.
Yes, yes.
But that's not true, is it?
No,
it stays
not
with
for,
you.
It's not for everybody, but bit by bit, you most succumb. Yeah. And I'd just like to say that one little bit of interest in our post-polio group, we actually have three doctors.
So, well, that's good.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really good. In the mid-2000s, 2008, 2009, mm-hmm. round about then, you became aware of Rotary's work with
yes.
polio. And yes. it's extensive. What we were charged mm-hmm. to do by Sabin
yes.
was not a small undertaking, really. Mm-hmm. But you've kind of followed along what we have been doing since that. Polio, the polio partners for Rotary are big partners,
mm-hmm.
the World Health Organization, yes. UNICEF,
Bill and Melinda Gates yes.
Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
We have, at 2000, we have immunized 550 million children
yeah.
have been immunized.
Yes, yes.
It's a big thing, isn't it? You must yes. have a little twinge of pride in there,
oh,
Mary Ellen.
Definitely, definitely. I think the real pride is knowing that there won't be the children show up on the streets of India or Pakistan, Bangladesh, who are cripples.
No.
Isn't it wonderful?
It
to
is
think,
wonderful.
To think that each child has an opportunity to be a whole child, you know,
yeah.
around the world.
Yeah. And as I said, 11 cases across the world. And those cases are still in Afghanistan and northern Pakistan. So that Taliban
yes.
area is still causing problems for Rotary. So
That's
we've got
right.
ongoing fight up there.
Yes, you do. And it in some ways, it's, as I understand it, a little bit of a political one as well, that polio vaccinators were early scouts for the U.S. military in spotting where Osama bin Laden was. So the village didn't accept many new people to that area, but lo and behold, they would accept the vaccinators, and the vaccinators had been prompted to be agents and disclose where bin Laden was.
Unfortunately, many vaccinators were killed as well.
That's right.
So that
in
was a
retribution,
tough thing
it was.
For a volunteer organization like us.
Exactly.
The polio, the vaccine that they're giving is the oral
yes.
vaccine.
Yes. Which we don't use now in New Zealand.
No, we've gone back, haven't we,
yes.
to Salk's vaccine,
Salk's
which
vaccine.
Was the injection that we had. And that's just because of how polio has settled down and developed across the
mm-hmm.
world, isn't it, really?
Yes. Well, the Sabin is much easier to get around, to
yes.
administer. I think it's a huge effort to do a vaccination across the world.
Absolutely.
So, But the other side of it is the Sabin does have some knock-on effects that the Salk vaccine doesn't. So Sabin can infect the actual person longer than you'd want, or members of their family, and it also shows up in the drinking water.
Yes, it does indeed. Thank you, Mary Ellen Warren, for being my guest on Rotary Wheels at this time of Christmas and New Year celebrations. Today, we honour Dr. Jonas Salk and Dr. Albert Salbin for their polio vaccines. We acknowledge all the Rotarians worldwide who have in some way contributed to the efforts to rid the world of polio. We honour the 3 billion children who have received the oral polio vaccine, and the polio children like Mary Ellen Warren, whose lives have been so touched from contracting polio at such a young age and without the medical knowledge we take for granted today. There is much to be found online about polio and the Rotary Program of Eradication. Just hit Google. Please join me every Monday morning at about 9:30 to meet another Rotarian from around the bay. I'm Lynn Trafford.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, your community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.